I came across a fictional letter that I believe might maybe exemplify how we might have looked at the early disciples, at the apostles especially, who would have been chosen for leadership. Of course, what a lot of companies do is they sub some of this research out looking for the right type of candidates. Sometimes companies will send a list of names to a group and maybe a management consultant group, and they will do their research and then get back. And so this letter, this fictional letter, I'll go ahead and say it, this fictional letter is kind of built off of that idea. And so here's how it is. This is listed or directed to Jesus, son of Joseph, woodcrafter, carpenter shop, Nazareth, Galilee. Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you've picked for management positions in your new organization. All of them have taken the battery of tests, and we've run them through our computers, and it's the staff's opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise that you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We would suggest that you continue your search for persons with experience and proven capability. Simon Peter, for instance, emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has no leadership skills at all. The two brothers, James and John, place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that's going to tend to undermine the morale of the team. We feel that it's our duty to inform you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus have radical leanings and register high manic depressive scores. Only one of the candidates shows great potential. He's a man of ability and resourcefulness who meets people well and has a keen business mind. He has contacts in high places, highly motivated, ambitious, responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. We wish you every success in your new venture. Sincerely yours, Jordan Management Consultants, Jerusalem, Judea. All right. Now, you get the idea. It kind of sets the tone for thinking about the background of the apostles and, by way of application, even thinking about us. We all have great talents, abilities. We also have, certainly, our weaknesses. We have our character flaws, you might even say. But no doubt, the Lord has made us who we are. And what I mean by that, if we have obeyed the gospel, then we are His. We are His children. And we are to be conformed to His image. And so we follow His word, and we look more and more like Him each day. I think about the way this kind of portrays the apostles, especially early on. Yes, it definitely picks out some of their flaws. Thinking about Simon Peter, he's maybe quick-tempered. He's rash in what he says, and he sometimes he's the one that sticks his foot in his mouth. And so, but no doubt, these individuals certainly grew a great deal in their faith, and they grew in their character as God would have had them to do. And yet, even with all of their flaws, look at what God did with them. And that's really what this lesson is about. With all the things maybe in our backgrounds, with all the things maybe that we've done in the past and yet have been forgiven of as children of God, God can use us to do wonderful things in His kingdom, using us if we will allow Him to do so. And I think that's something for us to be reminded of. Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 10 says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them." You understand that God chose us in a way that, not as Calvinists would teach, but chose us in a way that had to do with as those who would be called unto Him. as those who would respond to him through his gospel. We're called in that way. We've been chosen in that way. But understand that before having even obeyed the gospel, that he had in mind, me and you, doing his good works throughout the world. That's kind of amazing when you think about that. Before our learning about the gospel, before our coming to Christ in obedience to the gospel, he had in mind that we would do wonderful things. Maybe even when we were not doing such wonderful things. It's kind of amazing when you think about it. And in fact, he goes on to talk about, he says, verse 11, "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time," this is how he describes these individuals, "you were without Christ, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world." That sounds like a pretty awful place to be, doesn't it? "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off," which is certainly a reference to the Gentiles, "are made near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace. He's made both Jew and Gentiles one. He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make of himself in of two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross." Again, that picture of one body. You see, that's what he had in mind. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Where do we accomplish those good works? We do so as part of the body of Christ. And that's what God had in mind for you. That's what God had in mind for me. And so hopefully just a midweek encouragement for us to keep up the good work, if you will, to maintain those good works, to be zealous unto good works, as Paul would remind Titus in Titus chapter 2. But not only that, also a reminder for each of us that no matter what our past is, those things we can be forgiven of. Christ went to the cross to purchase the church. He went to the cross to save us from the guilt of sin and the condemnation of sin. So have you obeyed the gospel, believing Jesus to be the Son of God, repenting of sin, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized to wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 16. And if you've done that, are you maintaining good works by a faithful walk every day in Christ Jesus? If we can help or encourage you, come to the front while we stand, while we sing.